vuol dire che nel... no.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show tonight. I'm going to be talking about the movie we just watched, and I can't remember who brought this to my attention in the private group, the online mag group. I'm drawing a blank on what it's called now. Leave the World Behind is what it's called. And the movie, Lisa's going to be on in a little bit and we're going to talk about it. But the movie I thought was a bit ridiculous and went absolutely nowhere. But in that movie, and I wasn't going to watch it, Jammer, who's actually in the chat, had mentioned some of the things going on and how if you're watching it from that perspective, from the perspective of the predictive programming of the things that were going on in that, and what it could have been a really good movie if they'd have done a better job with it. But Lisa said in the chat that she loved it. We'll go into why she's wrong as we go into that, but it's just pretty interesting. But it got me thinking about how possible is it for an enemy invasion, something to happen on U.S. soil, because this, and if you haven't seen the movie, there is probably going to be a lot of spoilers tonight. So just keep that in mind. Hey, Light Raider, how's it going tonight? But it got me thinking about the different possibilities and what if it wasn't just one person, although in this movie, it's so ambiguous that it's hard to tell what actually happened in the movie. But what if it wasn't one person? What if it was a few different nations that said enough of this U.S. stuff? We're going to get them from the inside out, or we're going to have this coordinated attack. And when you think about the things that are going on the border and how easy it could be to get into this country and have these sleeper cells in here that could be here already, who knows what that looks like. So just, I'm not so sure how likely or how not likely something like this is, but it's food for thought, because with the way things are going on these days, man, you just really never know. I've also got a video I did on my newer YouTube channel that I want to play tonight that goes into, I'll play this before we get Lisa on and we'll talk about the movie and the Havana syndrome and all that stuff. But I want to play this video because I sort of talked about this in the beginning, how likely of a situation is it? And then I went into some of the things that we need to do to be prepared for a situation like this or any sort of large scale disaster type situation, something that's going to last a few months at the very least. A lot of this, for everyone watching and listening, or for most people watching and listening, a lot of this is probably basic information for you. There may be some things that you'll think about, but it is not, going really deep into the weeds with this stuff. But it is a really good video for the fundamentals of, hey, if you're going to it's a lot different preparing for a natural disaster or something that's going to last a few days than something that is going to be an ongoing struggle like this, where you have to think about not only the, whatever enemy forces there might be or things coming through your town, but also your friends and neighbors, the supply lines, the critical infrastructure, all those things that could be affected by this at one point or another, maybe not all at the same time. So a very interesting topic to me. And I watched this movie and it made me, and Lisa and I had a conversation about this stuff. And then she listened to Clyde Lewis as well. So I'm sure some of that's going to come in, but just very interesting stuff. So with that, let me go ahead and play this video that I did. It's about 20 minutes long that goes through what we should be doing to prepare for a situation like this and how feasible or likely is a situation like this. And I'd love to get your guys' thoughts. Hey, Mama Bear in the group listening. I'm going to try to glance over to that screen every once in a while and see the comments. So if you have anything, Mama Bear, let me know. But I'm going to play this video and then I'm going to get Lisa on the telephone tonight. She's got some things going on, so I'm just going to grab her on the telephone and we're going to talk about the movie. I've got a couple clips I'm going to play. So if this on YouTube gets shut off because of copyright crap that they usually do, that's why I'm playing this in the group as well, to have a full copy of it. And it's also on Rumble. So if for some reason I'm playing a clip and it shuts down, head over to Rumble and check the video out there. Usually what they do is they'll shut it down for a minute or two and then restart it up. But I got them. I got real short clips and I don't have very many. So hopefully that won't happen. But at any rate, let me go ahead and play this video here talking about 8 essential prepping items that we need to think about when preparing for either a U.S. invasion or something that's large scale. While there's never been an invasion on U.S. soil, and popular consensus is that it could never happen because of our geographic location and our military might, the world is much different today than it has been in the past. It might not be hypersonic missiles or something akin to storming the beaches of Normandy, but some of these enemies could already be here. I recently watched a movie, and not a very good movie, mind you, but it brought up some interesting points. What if it wasn't one enemy storming the beaches of Los Angeles or hypersonic missiles? What if it was some sort of coordinated attack? What if some of these people are already here? And if these sleeper cells are just waiting for the right time? What if it was an attack from the inside out that took out critical infrastructure like the internet, the power grid, or the water supply, all these strategic locations? Are you prepared for a situation like that? Over the years, the United States has made a lot of enemies. And with what's going on at the border, do we really know who's in our country right now? Why wouldn't someone who wanted to inflict damage on the U.S. seize on a perfect opportunity like this? Is it that far-fetched to think that China, Iran, North Korea, Russia would all team up? After all, like the old saying goes, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Regardless of whether you're talking about a full-fledged land invasion, a terrorist attack, or a coordinated first strike from the inside out,
we made a lot of enemies around the world. Maybe all this means is a few of them teamed up.
We need to be as prepared as we possibly can for events like these. So today I want to talk about 6 essential things that we need to consider when thinking about an invasion on U.S. soil. Now, keep in mind, like I said earlier, this doesn't mean it's missiles dropping or a full-fledged invasion on U.S. soil. It could mean a number of different things, and we need to be ready depending on how this situation unfolds. These 6 steps are also important to a number of different disaster scenarios. It's not specific to this one. Just like everything in preparedness, everything sort of overlaps as we go through these. So keep that in mind. Now, the first one I have on the list is home defense. And the reason that this is first is because without the ability to defend what is yours, without the ability to protect what you have, everything else is basically irrelevant. If you have a year's worth of food stored, a bunch of water stored, a bunch of guns and ammunition, and all those different things, it's sort of irrelevant if you can't protect those, because all of that food, all of those guns and all that water are going to belong to somebody else. So being able to defend and protect as much as possible your property is crucial in a situation like this or any situation. So what you want to think about is physical barriers, fortification, your perimeter security, all of those things that can be sort of deterrents. You're never going to be able to stop somebody or everybody 100% from getting into your home. If somebody wants something bad enough, they're going to get it. But we can deter them and we can increase our chances with physical barriers, fortifications, perimeter security, all of those things. Now, perimeter security could be something as simple as a chain link fence, although the larger security fences are going to work much better. Wooden fences would work better. But anything you can do that doesn't leave your property wide open is going to add to your defenses. You've also got shrubs and bushes that have the thorns and things like those on there that could be, once they jump that fence, they run into a bunch of bushes and make it just a little bit harder. Anything that you can make your home look like it's going to be a pain and it's going to be a challenge, that is going to help you and give you maybe even just a little bit of lead time to get your ducks in a row. Also with perimeter security, you've got the tech side of things, the surveillance, the motion lights, all of these things that will alert you in the event that somebody is trying to get onto your property. Now, in a situation where the critical infrastructure has been taken out and maybe the grid's down, you may not have the ability to use some of these surveillance cameras that are hardwired in. So you would need to think of other options, maybe solar options, things that aren't tied to the grid. Now, you get sort of limited when it comes to those, but motion lights and floodlights, those are something that could very easily be done with a couple solar panels around the house and turn on to let you know that somebody is there. There's also alarms, audible alarms and things like that. Here in our house, we have a few floodlights around the property. These days, it's usually a deer or an animal running through the yard. But the reason I put them up is to alert us in a situation like we're talking about today. Okay, so the next one I've got on this list is support groups. Ideally, you would want a MAG group, which is a mutual assistance group, but it isn't an option for most people. But a support group is absolutely necessary in an event like this or any disaster situation, because going it alone is not the best plan of action. And when you think about an enemy invasion or you think about enemy forces that may be coming through the neighborhood, if you are by yourself, you are severely limited in what you can do. With a support group, even if that is just a few neighbors that are looking out for each other, that can benefit you in a lot of different ways. First off, it's sharing the knowledge and skills. You may be really good at one thing, but you can't be really good at everything. And with a support group, you get those people that have different skill sets and different resources and have different ideas about how to approach different situations. So having a group of people that you can depend on will help you when you're planning for different situations like these. Also, and I think one of the most important aspects of a community or group is the security. Having a group of people that you can trust in a disaster situation is going to help you. You're going to have more eyeballs. You're going to have more input on what the security plan would be. So a mutual assistance group or just a community of neighbors can help you manage a situation. So you're not thinking about just your home security, you're thinking about neighborhood security. You're thinking instead of your home perimeter, you're thinking about the neighborhood perimeter, and you're expanding yourself out, because with a group of people, you have the ability to do that. Having a group of people in this sort of situation, I think is really, really important. And this goes for all disaster scenarios. But in this situation, I think it's absolutely critical, because if you're talking about enemy forces running through your neighborhood, running through your town, the only option you have if you are alone, in my opinion, is to get out of the way, take off, hide. And that may be what you want to do regardless. But with a group of people, you have more input on the whole situation, and you can make a more educated decision about that, depending on who's in your group, that is. So the next one on my list is firearms and ammunition. And this, what you decide and what you choose really depends on a number of different factors. Are you choosing something? Are you thinking about this from a home defense perspective? Are you thinking about this from a larger perspective? So choosing what type of firearm and the ammunition is really a personal choice, but there are some things to factor into this. Shotguns are great for home defense and don't require as much training and precision as, say, a firearm would, a sidearm, or a rifle would. But again, you are sacrificing distance and accuracy with a shotgun. But in close quarters, a shotgun is a pretty good weapon. Handguns also are suitable for close quarter combat. They're portable. They're easy to conceal. So handguns, semi-automatic pistols, revolvers, those are also firearms that you might want to think about. Now, I think of a sidearm as something in conjunction with. I wouldn't depend solely on that. So whether that's a shotgun or a rifle, which rifles are great for when you're in concealment or you're in cover, you've got a number of different customizations you can do with the rifle as far as scopes, infrared, a lot of different things that you can do with a rifle. now talking about a bug out situation, you are sort of limited with that rifle, and you also have short barreled rifles. But with short barreled rifles and all of these, you need to think about the legal situations in the state that you live. These days, it almost changes on a daily basis. So that's an important factor to consider when you're talking about firearms. In an event like the one we're talking about today, it's not probably that big of a deal. But before and until that happens, you need to make sure you're following the laws in your state. So the next one I have here is cash on hand. And cash is one of those things where it can be absolutely useless to you, or it can absolutely be a lifesaver. And I think in a situation like this, where you're talking about the critical infrastructure being down, enemy forces being on U.S. soil, I think that cash will be, at least initially, be something that you probably want to have some on hand. How much you have really depends on you and your situation. But if the grid is down, that means the banks are down. That means the ATMs are down. That means the cash registers at the store where you just slide your card are down. And you're going to need cash for in those different situations. So I think it's really important to have, you know, whatever amount of cash you think is feasible. I think probably a few $100s. You could go more if you want. Keep in mind, the more cash you store, the more of a target you are for people that know you have that. But there could be situations, and we try to prepare as much as possible to not have to go to the store, not have to do these things that would put ourselves at risk. But there could be situations where that cash is necessary. Having small bills, so you don't have to give somebody $20 for a gallon of water or something like that. Making sure you have smaller bills that you can just pay with cash and not have to worry about getting your change back. So next on the list, and it seems like I talk about this in every single video I do, but that's water and water storage. You can go a few weeks without food. There are alternatives and options for just about everything in preparedness other than water. Now, when you're talking about a situation like this, you're probably thinking a month, 6 months, maybe even longer. So you're not talking about just the basic, emergency preparedness stash of water, a few gallons, maybe 25, 30 gallons. What you're talking about is enough water to last you 30, 60, 90 days at the very least. So you're talking about hundreds of gallons of water. Now, for a lot of people, that's just not possible to store that much water. So we also need to be thinking about different ways to purify water, to clean water, where to find water in different places around your neighborhood, and how we would clean that. You've got parks, ponds, streams, rivers. It really depends on your geographic location, what you can find. But look around your neighborhood and scout everything out and see what might be available to you. And then with that, think about how you might be able to clean that water, or if you're able to clean that water in the first place. There are some rivers and streams that run through urban areas where the water may not be able to get chemicals and things like that out of the water. So that water source might not be viable for you. But there are other streams where maybe all you're thinking about is getting Giardia or Cryptosporidium or pesticides, things like that, that you can get out of the water. And those would be a viable water source for you. The next one here, we've got food storage. And this is one that gets talked about quite a bit in the preparedness community. Almost every website you go to is going to talk about food storage. But it really is a critical part of your preparedness plan, because if the grid is down, if the critical infrastructure is affected, those grocery stores, those supply lines, the even fuel getting to the gas station, all of those things are going to be affected, and that will affect your ability to go out. Even if you do have cash on hand, it will affect your ability to go out and get those things that your family needs. And the people that don't have these things, that haven't prepared their food storage and water storage, are going to be going out and looking places. And if they go to the store and the shelves are empty at the store, the next viable option is to go into somebody's home and take the food that they have, which all circles back to being able to protect the supplies that you have. Now, when it comes to food storage, it's the long term, the shelf stable foods. Canned foods are a great option. You've got the dried foods, food that will last a year or two, you know, somewhere in that time frame and even longer. You've got the 5-gallon bucket method where you can put all sorts of different flour, different rice, different beans, different things in 5-gallon buckets that will store anywhere from 10 years to 25 years. You've got the pantry foods that are usually shelf stable for a year or so. So those, as long as you're rotating through those will be a viable option as well. So just think about all of the different types of food that have a really long shelf life that can store easily. Figure out where you can store those in your house and build up a stockpile as much as you can. My recommendation is at the very minimum, have 30 days worth. When you're thinking about a situation like this, how things could unfold, you could be talking months down the line. You could be talking things still going on after a year or so. So build up as much as you can, given your living situation. When it comes to storing foods, too, the nutrients are really important when you're talking about a situation like this, which would be long-term survival. If it's something short-term, a natural disaster, not really a big deal about what sort of nutrients are in your food. But when you're talking about months on end, you want to make sure in a situation like this, you're staying as healthy as you possibly can. You want carbohydrates like pastas, rice, oats, cereals, grains, legumes, basically as your energy source. You want the proteins like the canned meats, the chicken, the tuna, the salmon, beans, nuts, and seeds. Things like that are good sources of protein. Protein is good for wound healing and your immune system and overall body function. Protein is just one of those essential things. Carbohydrates, proteins, and the next one is fats, I think, are the three most important. You've got cooking oils, nuts, seeds, canned fish that are packed in oils. A lot of different foods have all of these things included in them. So it's one of those things where you need to read the ingredients on the packages and find out if you're getting enough of each of these. But these three right here are going to give you the energy and keep you strong enough to be able to withstand whatever might happen in a situation like this. This is not a disaster scenario where the grid goes down and you're going to be sitting on your butt for a few days with twiddling your thumbs with nothing to do. A situation like this may require you to be fairly active, even if it's just setting up defenses around your home, digging trenches, things like that. There could be a lot of things going on, and you need to be able to have the energy for that. So the food storage and what's in your food storage is important. If you've got 14 shelves of ramen noodle, probably not going to cut it going into month 3 of a disaster situation. All right, so the last one I have here on this list is medical supplies. And this doesn't mean it's the least important. It's just the last on this list. And medical supplies, regardless of what disaster situation you're talking about, are super important because you never know when accidents happen. And a small situation can be made a whole lot worse by not taking care of that. So medical supplies include the bandages and the tape and all of those different things, having the different kits, the trauma supplies that you might need. But also it includes the medications that you might need, the antibiotics. And there are a few different places where you can get prescription medications. You can get extended prescriptions on the prescriptions that you already have. Jace Medical is one of those. You can get antibiotics. There are there are more options these days than there have been in the past to get those things. Also, over-the-counter medications sometimes get overlooked when you're talking about Imodium or just the things that we're eating all this strange food, we're doing all these things we're not usually doing, and our body is going to have to adjust to that. Diarrhea could be a major problem in some sort of SHTF situation, dehydration, things like that. So you want to make sure that you have the over-the-counter medications that you're going to need to handle those situations. The medications, the medical supplies, all of those things I think are really important because in a situation like this, yes, the hospitals might be available. They may be overrun. They may be dangerous, and they may be non-existent at all. So the more you can take care of yourself, the more you can take care of at home, the better off you are going to be in a situation like this. And this is also something we need to learn, just like the firearms. Learn these skills, take the classes, learn how to do all of these different wound dressings and bandaging trauma skills and things like that. So learn all of these things before it comes to a situation like this. And that will also make you a more valuable member of any sort of community or anything like that. All right, so I know there's probably 100 other things that go on this list as well, but I didn't want to make this video an hour and a half long. If you have any ideas, any thoughts, anything that I missed in this video, leave a comment below about what you would, what might be necessary in a homeland invasion or situation like we've been talking about today. Also, leave me a comment and tell me how likely you think a situation like this is. Because for most people, this is just out of the realm of possibility. The United States would never be attacked. We've never been attacked before, and it's not going to happen now. But I think there are different situations where this could be plausible. Like I said, with the, we don't know who's coming over the border. We don't know what sort of sleeper cells might be here already. And we need to be prepared for the fact, just like 9/11, we never gave that a second thought, but that happened. Something could happen, and it could just be your area, your state, your town, your county. It could be something very small, but it still affects you. It could be something that affects multiple states, or it could be something that is a first strike type of thing, take out the critical infrastructure and make it easier to get back in. Like I mentioned in that movie, they talked about the sonic waves, the Havana syndrome. They talked about a few different things that happened, and none of them really had to do with boots on the ground. But it basically disabled the whole United States. Now, that is a Hollywood script, and that is a movie, and it wasn't a very good movie at that. But it did bring up a lot of good thought-provoking ideas that we should be thinking about when it comes to an attack on U.S. soil and the things that could happen here. So, like I said, if you've got any comments, I appreciate it. If you just leave them below, let me know. But with that, take care and prepare, everyone, and we will talk to you all later. While there's never been. Whoa. All right. So that was that video. A lot of, I think, good information in there. Like I said, if you guys in the chat, there was some pretty cool comments that I want to see if I can try to get to. But if you guys have any thoughts on that, do you think any of what I talked about is viable? I know I'm not so sure that a single country like China would do anything just because of the economic ramifications of everything going on. But I just it makes you think, you know, watching things like that, it makes you think about what if it was something that was, you know, sort of coordinated. People just sort of got, you know, pissed off about certain things and said enough with it already. We'll go through this in the movie too and try to be a little bit ambiguous about it and do it without them really knowing it's us. It's interesting. Oops, wrong one right here. I don't know what you guys were talking about, Amanda. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention to the whole conversation. Plan B said, Glenn Beck talked about yesterday, the perfect day when all these sleeper cells nationwide simultaneously acted at the same time. Yeah, that's one thing. It really concerns me. And I'm going to get Lisa on here in a minute. We're going to talk about this. But that is one thing that you really does concern me is, like I said in that video, too. Why would somebody not take advantage of the situation, regardless of why it's happening and all that? Why would somebody that wants to do us harm, sort of like with 9/11, why wouldn't they take advantage of that? And that's pretty concerning. But I want to see if I can find a couple of these comments. I don't know how this little organization system works. But Todd said here, back when we were talking about shotguns, some pretty funny comments on that, too, that just the sheer sound of a shotgun is enough to scare a lot of people away. And Tiger was talking about how somebody that tried to home invasion on him ended up shitting themselves and had to get some new underwear and is now in jail with plenty of new underwear. But Todd here said, Hired 80% of home invasions can be stopped just from cycling a shotgun. I absolutely can believe that. That is one of those sounds that when you hear it, you're like, uh-oh, things are about to go sideways. I better figure out what my plan is because things are about to go wrong for me. And then see if I can find this other one. Jammer had a couple funny comments in there too as well, but I can't find any of those right now. Oh, wait, what is this one? Oh, here's one of Jammer's. Jammer said, they want us to react. We were talking about this movie and all the other situations we're talking about tonight. But Jammer said they want us to react in crisis mode if anything happens. That way they can step in and control things. And most importantly, you. Yeah, I think that's a huge part of all of this stuff is being able to the misinformation and all the things they're trying to do is all just a way to just get everything under control. And in this movie, I'm going to call Lisa here right now, but in this movie, they sort of left all the stuff wide open too. So you don't really know who it was or what was going on. You know a little bit, but you don't know. You never get the full story. That's one of the things I didn't like about this. Let me see if I can get Lisa on the phone now. I can see if I can make this work. Hey, it's ringing. Hopefully you guys
can hear me.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Is that you?
Yeah.
What are you doing? I'm doing a live show. Anyway, okay. I'm glad you're there. I'm glad this worked. Everyone in the chat, just so I know, if you can't hear Lisa, make sure and let me know because I can hear her. So,
Can you hear me now?
with the movie, I've got a couple clips that I want to play and you first, I was talking to Jammer a little bit going back and forth about some of the things that were in this movie. And then you were talking about, something you had listened to, Clyde Lewis, right here. Let me pull up the actual. Okay. Clyde Lewis had talked about it, right?
Well, yeah, and actually when we were watching the movie, I felt like I was listening. I felt like I was reliving like a lot of different Clyde Lewis episodes because it's like he talks about all of that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. So I felt like I maybe had more of an in on this movie than you did because it was like, well, yeah, sleeper cells and you have, you know, how are you going to destroy a country from within and have the people attack each other. And yeah, so he talks about that all the time.
Yeah, I know. But he goes way down the rabbit hole. Jam and I were talking about predictive programming and how Hollywood, basically that's what they do anyway. It's not just this movie. It's how Hollywood works, but you would come to find out the reason I didn't want to watch this movie originally is because it's Obama's production company that put this out. So I knew that there was going to be race involved with it. Cause that's just what Obama does. Mm-hmm. And then after talking with Jammer a little bit, I decided, you know what, I'm going to give a shot. A couple other people had told me that it was just not worth it. A lot of, they just don't explain a lot. But coming from the perspective of some of the things that went on, and we're going to talk about a few of them, what were some of the things that he was talking about were predictive programming?
Predictive programming? Oh.
Wasn't that what he called it? Where he was talking about how they're sort of setting the stage, like kind of normalizing.
Oh, yeah. Like, so when he was talking about, yeah, so I actually listened to his podcast where he reviewed the movie. I listened to that first, and then the next day we watched the movie because it was like, Dale, we have to watch this. We have to see. And yeah, they were talking about, the Obey t-shirt and then NASA. Yes, it's the Obey t-shirt is for like Andre the Giant, but it totally made me think of They Live. And you were even saying, you were trying to find They Live. Because in the movie They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper, the aliens come. Of course it's aliens. I was waiting for the aliens in this movie, but that didn't happen. But they have like subliminal messages to obey, consume, reproduce, work, sleep. That was a big one with sleep. Yeah. So when I saw obey, that's the first thing I thought of was, and obey NASA. It's like, okay, why do we have to obey NASA? And that's what they were talking about. But then they were also talking about things like the when the boat came online or came and came up onto the beach. The name of the boat was called the White Lion, and they were they had a lot of Civil War references that they were talking about with that. But they were saying if you just pay attention to the everything that's happening, it's basically like laying out potentially a blueprint of what could happen in the future. And then the fact that the Obamas were like, and I guess Obama, he was like right there and he had all kinds of information to share with the director and the people that were producing the movie that, yep, this is what would happen. This is what would happen. This is what would happen.
So yeah, the really dude weird. In the know. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, that Obey t-shirt, when I first watched it, I was like, that dude, it looks exactly like Obama. And then Jammer, what we were talking about this stuff, and he actually showed me where it's some sort of shirt company, and it's Andre the Giant's likeness and all that. But I like my I like my theory better. But it's pretty interesting, yeah. Oh, you know what I forgot? I got your picture up here on TV. And I forgot to put these on there.
I was waiting for my tinfoil hat.
Yeah. So you got your tinfoil hat on and your little alien in your pocket. Now you're good to go.
Oh, good, good. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that. Okay, so what I want to do is first off, I knew that I wasn't going to like this because everything that the Obamas do is something. It's got to be infused with, what did you call it, the forced racism, and the it just drives racism. Me nuts. And that's Obama's whole presidency. But and I knew going into it that that's what it was going to be about. So I tried to just not let that, because usually crap like that just makes me turn it off when it has nothing to do with the actual story. And it's put in there just to, you know, because every movie these days has it, drives me nuts. Well, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole too much, though. What's that?
No, but the reason they do that is because we are not like most people. We see that and we're like, okay, this is ridiculous. But for a lot of people that don't pay attention to things, that's why they do that. Because they're like, oh, I'm a bad person. I'm a white person. I'm bad. So it's like all of the undertones of that they put in movies seem to be generated to the people that really aren't paying attention to what's going on in the world.
Yeah
that's my thought.
Hey, real quick, Gabe just said just became a member. Thank you, Gabe, and woo! Well, thank you for becoming a member, and thank you for reminding me, because I never say this, but I do have the Bug Out location, which is a membership website, preparedness courses and community, all that, and as well as the members.survivalsprepper.net, which is our online mag group, which has got a lot of really cool people in it, all the way from the very beginners to people that have been doing this for a long time, and people that just really know their stuff way more than me. A lot of them, a couple of them I'm forgetting names right now, so I'm not even going to say it, but there's communications, just so much different, just different knowledge in those groups. But yeah, that's members.survivalistprepper.net or thebugoutlocation.com. You can help support the show and all that. So, but I don't want to spend, there's so much to talk about with this. I don't want to go down the race rabbit hole with this, because it drives me absolutely bonkers. But there was a few things in here. They really didn't, and I don't know, you've watched it a couple of times. They really left everything just wide freaking open, didn't they? I mean, do we really know what happened?
Well, no, yes and no. I mean, I think I know what happened, but I think Archie was the kid. I can't remember the guy that owns the house. I forgot what his name is. Was it GW something?
G Washington. Something, yeah, the black dude.
Yeah. And he pretty much laid it out. I don't know what his job was, but he was like in whatever trading, and he had big people that were like what did he call them? The evil cabal or something.
Yeah, and I think, you know, thinking out how you were saying that Obama was really involved in this and being Obama's production company, and he's talking about how he was having a conversation with somebody that he wouldn't, if I told you his name, you would know who I'm talking about. Remember that part?
It was probably Obama.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. It's like the evil cabal going to, you know, take over the world and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, because he pretty much laid it out. This is like, if you want to invade a country, this is what you do. This is step one. This is step two. This is step three.
Yeah. Who would know better, huh?
Who would know better? And if you think about it, I mean, yes, this is fiction, and I'm using air quotes, because if you pay attention, and if those things start happening, and then if the deer start going crazy and hanging out and staring at you, looking at you really weird, then you know that that Obama is like totally giving you, you know, information and predictive programming of the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you did mention that. So I'm going to play this clip right here of the animals, because I've got a couple questions about this. I didn't and still don't quite understand this. But this is the beginning where they talked a little bit about why the animals were going nuts. And then Julia Roberts, who I think was horrible in this movie, you may disagree, but she was a shrew. She was just they tried to make her seem racist, but she wasn't racist. She was just an evil woman. And so was the black dude's daughter as well. They were both just horrible people, but they never really, this is one part of it where they never really explained what the hell really was going on. They just kind of alluded to it and then left it to that. Let me play this and then I'll get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Reports that the fallout from the ongoing cyber attack has led to a catastrophic environmental disaster in the South, impacting animal migration patterns.
I wish you were on camera right now, because I'd ask you to reenact that scene.
I would totally do it too.
Yeah, I just can't stand her. I didn't like her before this. Now I really can't. But what they said throughout the whole movie was that there was some sort of disaster down south that caused the animals' migration patterns to shift. And And that's all they really did. So you got these crazy ass deer that are just going and staring at people. And you would think that for migration patterns to be shifted or something, you're probably talking about something that's more than like a couple days, right? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it would take more than a couple days because where were they? They were in New York. I don't know. How long does it take a flamingo to fly to New York? That would be definitely a migration issue, but the deer, maybe the deer were like, say, warning them, hey, something's up, what's wrong, you need to fix this. I don't know. Yeah, they didn't really say why the deer were so freaked out.
But yeah,
I
think that's some Hollywood BS right there.
That's just the Hollywood aspect of it.
Another thing right before that too, I got to turn this up so I can hear you, but another thing right before that too, they talked about the cyber attack where it started off where they're sitting there in their house. The lights still worked, but the internet was out. A lot of different things were out, but the lights still worked. The water still worked. Conveniently Hollywood can do whatever they want, but they talked about how the satellites I don't know what happened. They either moved out of alignment or they weren't necessarily destroyed or blown up. They were just inoperable. But I don't know if that sort of coincided with what caused the natural disaster, the ecological disaster, whatever they called it in that clip down south. But I don't know. There's that was two things that they sort of were just ambiguous about to start things off. You don't have any cell phone coverage. You don't have the internet, which I don't know that satellites. I know that satellites would affect the internet, but most internet is from the oceans, the underwater oceans. Now, if the grid was down in certain parts, maybe that would affect it, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I think about I think back. Look at when our nice, friendly little pandemic happened and how everybody pretty much didn't know what was going on. And I mean, you're just like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. That's what I took away from that, from, because you may never know. You may never know who started it. Who knows if the internet's out, your cell phone is out, you can't get any information. That's how I took it. It's like, it doesn't really matter, because you're not going to be able to solve it. You're not going to be able to figure it out. You might be able to, but that's how I looked at it.
Yeah. I tell you what, if I saw some deers in my backyard, just staring in the window,
deer.
It would be, oh. And I was concerned about the situation going on. They wouldn't be staring in the window for very long. That's for sure.
No.
It's no, like coming like to the front yard. Like they're lining up at the dinner table.
Yep. It's like, oh, okay. You're going to go in our freezer. So your breakfast, your lunch and your dinner. Thank you.
Yeah. Before I get to the, we're going to talk about the Havana syndrome and the sonic weapons, which they didn't really let you know what that was either. There was the kid, and this sort of goes into that too, but actually I'll play this first, but the kid, for some unknown reason, I mean, it could go into this. He had the sonic or the sound, right, that shook his head up. He got bit by a tick, and all of a sudden he just loses his teeth, which was a pretty gross scene. But what are your thoughts on what exactly caused that? Because they sort of made it like it could have been one of three different things, and they really didn't know what the hell it was.
Yeah. The first thing I thought automatically was it has something to do with the sonic, like the high frequency sound that they were hearing. But then that didn't happen to anyone else. So then when I watched it again, then I paid attention more, and he did get bit by a tick. And it was on his leg and it was all red and looked infected. That night when they went to bed, they all slept in the same bed and he was really warm. So then he had a fever. So he was definitely sick. So I think it's probably more from the insect bite than the high frequency sound wave, because it didn't affect anybody else that way. He was the only one that was affected.
Yeah.
Don't know, but
yeah, that was my thought too, is like, why is he, getting the brunt of this? Nobody else's teeth are falling out. Why is this dude's? And you don't know. I mean, if it was the tick, what sort of things happen? And I guess that's the whole point of this, right? Is you gotta shut off here. What I'll do is I'll play this one part. This is about a minute long. Hopefully we don't get shut down, but what he talks about here is the three-part plan. And I guess that's what this is sort of part of that plan, where you get rid of all the communications, you make people just not know what the hell is going on. Chaos. And then you have people like that little girl that just wants to watch Friends, the head in the sand, basically, which I think was kind of an analogy for most people these days.
Yeah.
But let me play this. Hopefully, if we get shut down on YouTube, just hang out for a couple minutes. It'll probably be back on. But this is only a minute long, so hopefully we don't.
There was one program in particular that terrified my client the most. A simple three-stage maneuver that could topple a country's government from within. First stage was isolation. Disable their communication and transportation. Make the target as deaf, dumb, and paralyzed as possible. Setting them up for the second stage. Synchronized chaos. Terrorize them with covert attacks and misinformation. Overwhelming their defense capabilities, leaving their weapon systems vulnerable to extremists in their own military. Without a clear enemy or motive, people would start turning on each other. Done successfully, the third stage would happen on its own.
What's the third stage?
Coup d'etat. Civil war. There was one problem.
So the first time that I watched this movie, and I watched it the second time just to get some of the clips that I wanted to get, it was kind of painful, but the first time I watched it, I thought it was more of a like North Korea, like with the pamphlets dropping from the sky from somewhere in the Middle East, which basically is it. Death to America is the whole Iran thing. And the other things you think it's some sort of coordinated attack. But a lot of this, you've already got to be inside the country to get, you know, to get the drone that's dropping all these pamphlets. And they talk about the whole misinformation thing in there, which is in itself sort of ironic, but at the same time, interesting, because that could be, I mean, you really don't know who the enemy is with this, right?
No. But I mean, it's so easy for the enemy to come here and be here already.
And be here. That's the thing.
They probably are. Yeah, they probably already are. the borders are wide open. They just live in their lives until they're told what to do.
Yeah, yeah. Master Canine Trader said, I used to wear braces and sometimes picked up radio signals. And that is the part I wanted to play next too, but I wanted to sort of set the stage with that, where they're talking about how it's more of a situation where, instead of boots on the ground, instead of coming and attacking and doing these different things, it's setting the stage. It's almost like having us defeat ourselves first, right, or just be in complete chaos first, and then, you know, go about whatever. I mean, the movie doesn't tell you anything, so you're sort of left to your own druthers to sort of make stuff up. But it's
working smarter, not harder, and not that any government has ever done that in the past. But it's like, why do they need to come in and destroy us when we can do it? We'll do it for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think it's sort of interesting too, that evil cabal that they were talking about. Even though part of the movie he was talking about it, the conspiracy theory that there's some evil group of people is lazy. It's probably no one. I thought that part was BS. But at the same time, and I forgot to get that clip, but at the same time, that evil cabal, when you think of, and I can't help but think this way because of the Obamas doing this thing, and all the conspiracies we talk about, conspiracy theories we talk about all the damn time, you can't help but think that it may not be some sort of rogue nation or something like that. It could be that group that wants to maybe change the system. It just completely create complete chaos here in the United States. Doesn't necessarily mean it's some sort of outside force, right?
Yeah.
That's what I took from it.
And if you think about it, that would fit really well into their 2030 agenda.
Yeah, yeah, it would. The World Economic Forum agenda, the 2030 agenda, all these things that they want to, and what Jammer was talking about earlier, the more that they can, the more chaos they can create, the more things that they can do. And who is they? I don't know. They didn't really go into this in the movie as well, but we'll never know until it happens, and we may not even know after that. But the more chaos they can create, the more division they can create, the easier exactly it's going to get want. People to fall in line. The people like that little girl that just could not, that the only thing she was worried about was watching the last episode of Friends, which was, I thought was absolutely ridiculous at first. But then when you think about it, she was sort of an analogy for the average person, right? The average person that just doesn't want to pay attention to any of this stuff. The average person that just wants to eat their cheeseburger and be happy and go about their life.
They want to leave the world behind.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You were saying that earlier, right? Where it was a situation where she was the reason for...
She was ignored.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it was like she was ignored and everybody was kind of poo-pooing her off because they're like, oh my God, friend. It's all you like, you're obsessed with it. And they weren't really listening to her. And she even said that nobody's listening to me. And I'm sitting here going, oh my God, you little brat. But at the same time, no one's listening to her. So they're like, fine, I'm just going to go off on my own then and take care of myself. I'm going to leave the world behind and leave all of you guys to do your own thing.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I want to talk, we haven't even talked about the Havana syndrome yet. And I want to talk about this and a little bit about the sonic weapons thing as well. But I've got this clip right here I want to play. Okay, so when I first watched the movie, I was thinking completely like some sort of Havana syndrome thing because of the sound waves and everything, because there's a lot of weird stuff going on with that. But then when I got this clip, you can hear it, I don't know that it's explosions or it's something popping, but there are, let me see if I can pull this up here. There are weapons that sonic weapons that, but it could be something more akin to that rather than the Havana syndrome, But again, you're talking about somebody already inside the border, right? This is not something that can be done from the outside in.
Right.
With Havana syndrome, you know more.
By the way,
what's that?
I really like my title, by the way, conspiracy realist. Yeah.
I was going to put Lisa Tinfoil Hat Tom Goodwin on there, but it didn't fit. So you got conspiracy realist.
That's way better.
But with the Havana syndrome, and I forget who it was that asked the question as well, but with the Havana syndrome, you were saying the mainstream media sort of just poo-poos that and just acts like it's some crazy-ass conspiracy theory.
Right.
And I had a person ask, what could you do to protect yourself from that? If it is like the sonic weapons like I just showed, you could, I guess if you had good enough headphones, you could at least minimize the damage from that. But for the Havana syndrome, is there anything that you could do to, because that's like radio waves or something, isn't it? So. What is Havana syndrome?
Let's see. Havana syndrome, brain injury suffered by a small group of diplomats. There was multiple times that this happened. It wasn't just one time. Everybody else started coming forward then. But I don't know if there was like a sound involved in it. But it would cause people to suffer vertigo and pressure in their ears, vomiting. They felt nauseous.
And once it was in Russia and then also Cuba or something like that?
Yeah, because it was in Cuba. It was in Havana. I think that's why they dubbed it the Havana syndrome. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it even happened when Trump was president to one of the people that work with him. He got really sick, just like all of a sudden. But something about ultrasound devices or microwave, like microwave radio waves, is what it was. Memory loss, vision loss, balance problems, headache, nausea. But what's really interesting that this happened in 2016 in Cuba, and that's when Obama was president.
Yeah.
And he was actually in Cuba right before all of this happened.
Yeah, this movie is like a conspiracy theorist would say this movie is kind of like his memoirs or something. Off the record.
Well, it's like it's his biography and he's telling us what's going to happen.
Predictive programming.
Exactly.
Yeah. But if you talk about it like we're talking about, you're some one of those crazy conspiracy theorists, and you know,
I'm a nutcase.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, who knows? But I think there are other things that are more realistic than the things that were going on in this movie. When you talk about the southern border and attacks, we got really lucky last year as far as terrorist attacks and not really a whole lot going on. I personally thought we were going to see something. I think with everything that's going on right now, it seems like setting the table to me with the ability for people to get into this country and who knows, maybe something. I don't know, but it just seems like there's just this perfect opportunity to get things done. And when you hear about all the different gotaways and things like that, and these people that could be in here from all sorts of different countries, I mean, why wouldn't North Korea try something? Because they just like to be assholes. They just like to be pesky. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't Iran? Why wouldn't a lot of different countries? I think that was the main thing that this guy said was we made a lot of enemies. Why wouldn't they? That's what concerns me is the not the missiles flying, not the, ships landing on the shores and things like that. It's more of a inside out, destabilize things. And then what comes after that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess one day we're probably going to find out, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then, on top of that, you've got it's not just like I mentioned in that video. You've got the people around, the people that just want to watch Friends, the people that just want to be their lives to be like they were told they were going to be. Just everything's PG-king. You just go to work, go do your thing, get your, everything is nice and you don't have to worry about a damn thing. Just read the news we tell you to read. Just listen to the things we tell you to listen to and everything's going to be fine. When it's not, those people I think are going to be just as, maybe even more concerning than the outside forces. Those people that live right next door to you, I think, are going to be more concerning, because they're going to be the ones that you're confronted with. If it's an enemy invasion or something, maybe it doesn't, you know, hit your town, you know, for a while or, you know, however long. But those neighbors, those people that are looking for food, all of that stuff, they're going to be right there.
Yeah, they're going to be all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. So just an interesting movie. I don't think I have any more clips from this. Oh, I do want to play this last one. The worst part of this movie for me was, and I suppose it not even just the race stuff and all that, but the bunker scene at the end, that was pretty damn cool. That was a really cool bunker.
Amazing. That was like top of my Christmas list this year, because it was like, I want that. And they did not spend near enough time in that bunker.
Yeah. It was like 30 seconds. I'm going to play the end of this movie. Hopefully I'm pretty close to it, but I'm going to play it and try to see if I'm close or not. Let me see if I move this up a little bit, where the little girl, oh, perfect. Okay. Little girl's walking into the bunker right now. First off, they had the prepper dude, right, that was telling the black guy and the other guy, hey, there's a bunker. The guy next door built this huge ass bunker. Why don't you go over there? That was sort of dumb to me, because if that prepper dude was
true. I would be there if I was that prepper dude.
What's that?
I would have been there if I was that prepper dude. I wouldn't have said a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Not a damn word about the bunker. I'd have already been in the damn bunker. Yeah. Or not said a damn thing. But here is the only good part of the movie, in my opinion, right here, where she turns this on. And you had some sort of tidbits about what this why the bunker's called what it is and all that too. We'll watch that, or we'll I'll let you talk about that once we play this clip. So in that part too, you've got the elevated radiation levels as well. So that's another thing that they don't say anything about.
They don't really, yeah.
But anyway, just other than only being like 9 bottles of water, pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I noticed that too just today when I watched it again.
Yeah, they got entertainment stuff right here, and of course, she finds, this is how they end the movie. She finds the last episode of Friends. I'm not going to play that because I don't feel like listening to that song right now. But I don't know. If I was next door and I knew that bunker was there, not saying a damn word to anyone about anything.
Uh-uh. Nope. And then when all that stuff happens, like, I better go check on the thorns.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, Mama Bear in the group had said when we were talking about the terrorist stuff, she said elections are coming, and I wouldn't be surprised if a quote unquote terrorist attack occurs prior just to keep Biden in office. I think that's a very good point. Something guaranteed, something is going to happen. I think personally, I don't know what that is, but I think something is, because they are, I'm not even going to say it. They need and want to remain in power, and they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure to get that done. But if they do that, I think it's going to be, I think 2025 is the beginning. It's going to be crazy. I think regardless of how this all unfolds, I think we all better be ready. We all better be getting our bunker ready, like that movie right there.
You think about it, look at what happened like here in Colorado with them removing Trump from the ballot. And now people are like, of course, outraged and everything. And they're actually threatening the judges that had him removed from the ballot. People are threatening their lives. And it's like, there's your civil war. People are just going at it, you know, just from that one thing happening. Will he be on the ballot? I don't know. But I don't think the election is a true election anyway. That's my conspiracy realist talking.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's true. That is true.
literally one state does that, and this is what happens, it's very weird.
Yeah. Hey, Jammer brought up in the chat too, really good point that I didn't even think about, typical Hollywood stuff, but they had the lights come on the the hydroponic system.
Yeah.
Those plants would have been dead.
No, you did say that the first time we were watching it, you were like, well, how are the plants going to be alive when there was no lights on?
Yeah. I think I remember that now, but yeah, that's just a very good point, but that's typical Hollywood. Yeah. Just turn on the lights. Everything's working normally and all that stuff. Yeah. Not exactly. So, Jammer said 2024, the year of the crisis actor. Yeah. Very well could be.
Oh, yeah.
Very well could be.
Yes. Julia Roberts might be one of them.
She's the crisis over actor. She was horrible. Yeah. I don't like her anyway, but she was horrible in that movie. She was a shrew. She started off like when everything was going her way, she started off as this happy-go-lucky woman, right? And then everything started to go wrong, and then she just turned into this complete B. So that's another thing that got me about this movie. They tried to infuse the whole racism thing into it, but when the black family came home to their house, and she got all bent out of shape, it wouldn't even have went down like that. If that was my house, it'd have been like, okay, you call this little booking agency, you do whatever you want to, but you get the hell out of my house or I'm calling the cops. That's how that would have went down.
but they couldn't call the cops because, you know, there's no phone.
Yeah, well, they still would have gotten the hell out of my house eventually. Yeah.
Okay, but did you see who the company that made the bunker?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Commodus was the...
Commodus. Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying something about that earlier.
Yeah, he was a Roman emperor. And he they said he, with his reign, it was like the beginning of the fall of Rome. They were worst emperor in ancient Rome.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right here. Commodus, he ruled from, I'm reading from Wikipedia, so take that for what it is. But yeah, I think that's interesting. I'm not going to go ahead and read this whole damn thing for everybody, but he was, I don't know how responsible, but he was one of those, the downfall of Rome, which is sort of interesting that that's what they named that for. So in that time period, he was one of the emperors. So got one of those little things in the movie that they throw in there that most people won't even notice.
Also when they were playing the emergency broadcast, when she like looked into the room for the first time, and I saw this on Reddit, and then I can't unsee this now, but those screens that had like all the numbers going across it, if you flip it upside down, it said 666. And apparently in the beginning of the movie, it also said 666. So it's like, I don't know if Obama is a Satan worshiper, but was he like, were they like throwing things out there like Hail Satan or something? I don't know.
Or it could just be they made that movie so damn ambiguous. And so like they intentionally wanted people to have 500 questions after that was over.
Or 1500 conspiracy theories.
Yeah. I had one question. Why the hell did I just watch this? But it did bring up, it could have been pretty good because they did bring up a few different things that if they would have went into more in depth with them, it would have been pretty interesting. The beginning when the oil ship runs ashore, that wouldn't happen because it's not like all they have is the digital controls and everything. I'm sure they have analog controls. I'm sure they have a way to shut down the damn tanker. The airplanes wouldn't just fall out of the sky. They would have to land, but they wouldn't just, you know, crash on the beach or anything like that. So some of the stuff is just a little bit ridiculous, but they could have gone a little bit into more depth with that. Maybe that's the plan, right? That's what everybody does these days is make series out of things. So maybe they're going to make a series.
I don't know. I mean, it was actually the movie was based on a book, and I think the book came out. Oh gosh, I want to say it was 2020 or 2019, maybe. I can't remember, But from everything that I've been like looking up into this, people say the movie was actually better than the book. So maybe they will do a sequel to it. You never see a movie that's better than the book. The books are always better than the movie.
No kidding.
So maybe he was self-published on Amazon. I don't know. But
yeah, I was going to say that book must have really sucked in. All right. Well, I think we are going to get out of here tonight. It's just if you haven't seen it yet, if you got nothing else to do, it's sort of a why not. But know what you're going in for, what you're in for when you start to watch it. If I didn't have conversations with some of the people in the group and you and everything, I don't think I would have lasted through the beginning where they insinuated racism into every damn thing. And it wasn't racist at all. She was just a complete bitch. I mean, that's all it really was. And the daughter, the black girl, was more racist than the white chick, I thought. So,
yeah, but you gotta look underneath it. It's like peeling the layer of onions. You get, you know, there's so many different things that you can get from it that maybe it's not the best movie in the world, but from a preparedness standpoint, I think it gives people a lot of things to think about.
Yeah. I think we all think about those things anyway, so go watch The Book of Eli or go watch Mad Max or something.
Yeah. Book of Eli is awesome.
Yeah, that's far-fetched too, but you know, a blind dude killing everybody and all that stuff, but
yeah,
it was a good movie. At least it was entertainment, right?
Yeah.
So,
and that's all it is. They're just movies.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight. I appreciate everyone joining in tonight. Plan B said, I just recovered 2 hours of my life back from that decision. Yeah, Plan B was one of the ones that, and Denise as well, that wished they never watched it in the first place. But I appreciate everyone being on tonight. I appreciate you coming on tonight. Jammer asked in the beginning how you're doing, your surgery and all that. You actually go back to work in a couple days. Your 6 weeks is almost over, right?
It's 8 weeks. Actually, today is 8 weeks after surgery. So
8 weeks.
Thursday I go back to work, and I'm good to go.
Yep. Vacation's over.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. So everyone in the chat, I appreciate it. Too many people in there to name everybody. I'll go with the names I see right now. Denise, Charlie, Amanda, Jammer, everyone. Thank you for joining in tonight, Plan B. I no guarantees on next week yet. I've got some changes and things I'm doing, but we're going to figure all that out. I appreciate everyone joining in tonight. Lisa, I appreciate you being on. We'll have to someday when I do this show and you're driving home from work, I'm just going to call you and we're just going to talk about some crazy crap.
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care and prepare. We'll talk to you all later.